We are up to Perek Chav Dalid, chapter 24, which is in Parshas Mishpatim. And this is the last Perek of Parshas Mishpatim. We've done 440. So it's Perek Chav Dalid, chapter 24. It's interesting now in the Parshas that they're reading in the Torah, we're reading about the Jewish people leaving Egypt, Parshas B'Shalach. So we did all of that. And then after Parshas B'Shalach, we have Parshas Yisrael where we received the Torah. Then we took a very long time because there's every verse in Parshas Mishpatim is so detailed and so whatever. And those were many of the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Hashem and then he taught it to the Jewish people. Interestingly, this is the last chapter in Parshas Mishpatim, and it's not very clear how it works. What do I mean by how it works? Because if you look at the topic in this chapter, you'll see that it discusses the concept, it looks like it's going back to the whole story of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah. And the big question is, but we've already had the giving of the Torah in the previous Parsha. Why are we going back? That's what it looks like. When did this chapter happen? What is happening? So I just want to read just a few of the psukim, and we will go into them in depth. And then we'll try to understand when and put a bit of perspective into these psukim. Now, these psukim are quite deep because some of them are really, like they allude to different beautiful things that happened at Matan Torah. So we'll go a little bit into some of the depth. And forgive me if it does end up being a little bit maybe repetitive in the sense because some of it goes a bit deeper and deeper and we're going to look at it from different perspectives. So hopefully it'll be all right. Okay, so let's just read, like I say, some of the psukim. So page 440, and it's a funny start of a pasuk, like not very grammatically correct, as we say, Ve'el Moshe, and to Moshe, Omar, he said, Alei El Hashem, go up to Hashem, Ata V'arein, you, and Arein, Nada V'avihu, V'shivim Mizikne Yisrael, and the 70 elders of the Jewish people, V'hishtach Avisem Meirachayk, and you will bow down from a distance. Right? That's an interesting command. Where are we going? Obviously, they're going up on Mount Sinai, and Har Sinai, that's what it's talking about. But it's a very strange pasuk in a sense, what's really happening. Let's look at another few psukim. V'nigash Moshe Levadai El Hashem. So, originally, we're addressing quite a group of people. Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, Aaron's two sons, the 70 elders, and they all have to bow from a distance. In the next pasuk, we see that Moshe is being singled out. Good morning, Leah. What's he being singled out? Vanigash Moshe Levadai. Moshe should approach on his own, El Hashem. V'heim lo yigashu, and they will not approach. V'ha'am lo ya'alu imoy, and the nation shall not go up with him. So we see here a little bit of an idea where Moshe, obviously, and we know this, had a much greater revelation, went much closer to Hashem, went higher, so to speak, on the mountain. The others had to remain lower. That's all we see so far. Just want to see the next step, what's going to happen. Vayavai Moshe, and Moshe came, vayisaper la'am, and he tells the nation, es kol divrei Hashem, all of the words of Hashem, ve'es kol ha'mishpatim, and all of the laws, bayan kol ha'am, and the entire nation answered. How did they respond? Koil echad, with one voice, vayayimru, and they said, kol hadvarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Everything that Hashem has spoken, all the words that Hashem has spoken, we will do. It's interesting because we know the famous Nase V'Nishma, right? Here it's just Nase. There is Nase V'Nishma in our chapter, we'll see. But initially, it's just Nase. I'm going to go back to seeing a little more of the details, but I just want to look another two psukim. And then after Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, warning to the Jewish people, and they respond, then he doesn't leave it at just speaking. Vayichtov Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu writes, Eis kol divrei Hashem, all of the words of Hashem. Vayashkein babayker, and he gets up in the morning. Vayiven mizbeach tachas ahar, and he builds an altar underneath the mountain. Ushtei mesrei matseva l'shnei masar shiftei Yisrael, and he builds, you can see, 12 standing stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. And then they bring a special carbon, and they get sprinkled with the blood. Now, we have to understand, as we said, what's happening, when is this happening, and what's happening. What's Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people? They're very cryptic words. What's the Jewish people's response? What is Moshe writing? What is he reading? And what's, all these things are so, it's so difficult to understand what's really happening here. Okay, so let's just first see, as we always do, Rashi. If you look at your sheets that I've given you, you can see the Rashi easier because it's from the art scroll there. So you can look and you can see how Rashi says. I think, do I have that Rashi on those sheets? Let me just see. Stacey, I do have one, I do. Okay, so in this sheet it says like this. You have Rashi Aleph, good. The El Moshe Amar, and to Moshe he said. Okay, so Rashi right away wants to know what's going on, where is this being said, when, as we say. So Parsha Zu Nemra Kaidem Aseres HaDibreis. According to Rashi, this chapter is totally out of place. Even though this comes at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, chronologically it takes place in the middle of Parshas Yisrei, before the giving of the Ten Commandments. So it's out of place. Like the book was binded, in a sense, in the wrong order, if you want to say. And when? Even Rashi even gives us the right dates. Ba'arba b'sivan, exact dates. On the 4th of Sivan, Nemar le'ale. On the 4th of Sivan was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go up. And on the 5th was when he built that altar. Or, yeah, according to most opinions. Okay, so this is interesting. We have to understand, why would the Torah do this? If this is on the 4th of Sivan, why don't we just put it where it belongs? We did all of the first 3 days of the month of Sivan in Yisrael. Then seemingly, according to Rashi, we jump to the Aseres HaDibreis. And then we go through a whole Parshas Mishpatim. And then we come back to the 4th of Sivan and the 5th of Sivan. And the 6th is when they received the Torah. That's back to Yisrael. Very strange situation. We're going to have to understand. So let's keep that in mind for 1 minute. I just want to show you a few more of the Rashis to understand Sukkim, and then we'll see the two opinions, so to speak. Not two, but the other opinion of when this happens. V'nigash Moshe levadei, and Moshe shall approach by himself. Where does he approach? El ha'arafel, to the fog, which is interesting, because you remember when we mentioned, when we talked about Matan Torah, it said that Hashem, so to speak, descended on the mountain, and there was this like big fog around the mountain. And it was a feeling for people, even though they couldn't, it was godliness, but there was still this feeling like, we can't go through. It's like there's something there, something but nothing. Something that they can't touch, but there's something. So Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to approach, as we say, and he went up to the fog. What happens next? Vayavai Moshe vayisaper la'am. Moshe came and he told the people. When did he come? Bayayim, on that day, which, as we said before, is the 4th day of the month of Sivan. It's page 440 in the Chumashim, and there's also some handouts. Okay, and then it says, which words did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people? So here, this is very specific because we're going to analyze it and understand it a little bit deeper. Mitzvahs Prisha V'Hagbala. Initially, what does he tell them? He tells them the command of separating and making a boundary, separating for their wives, and making a boundary around the mountains. You remember that the Jewish people were only able, allowed to approach to a certain point, not to come too close to Har Sinai. And this all, as we know, happened on the 4th of Sivan and on the 5th of Sivan. So all of these things is what Moshe is telling them, according to Rashi. That's what this chapter is talking about. And then it says, what is Kol HaMishpatim? What are all the laws? So we might think, it says Mishpatim, and we just learned, this is Parshas Mishpatim, all the laws. But Rashi says, no, it can't be, because he says this happened before Parshas Mishpatim, right? So this can't be all the laws that they were taught. They can't be the Ten Commandments, because this happens before the Ten Commandments. It can't be all the laws in Parshas Mishpatim. So which laws are we referring to? So here Rashi tells us, Sheva Mitzvahs, very specific, Sheva Mitzvahs, Shenitztavu B'nei Noach, the 7 commandments which are, we call the Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the Noahide commandments. So that's what Moshe told them here. Those are laws that they already knew from before. The other thing that he told them, the Shabbos and Kibbud Av Va'Em and Parah Aduma and Dinin. Dinin is laws of how to set up a court system. Where were those laws taught? Shenitnu lahem b'mara. Good morning. They were taught to the Jewish people in Mara, in a place called Mara, which happened all before Matan Torah. All of this happens before they get to Har Sinai. So you see, according to Rashi, his opinion, when is this chapter, even though it's here, it really should be, seemingly, in Parshas Yisrael. That's where it, so to speak, belongs, in a sense. That's chronologically where it belongs. And everything that is he's saying fits with that. What does Moshe Rabbeinu write? And this is interesting, because when we think about writing, what do we have that was written? What do we have? We have a Sefer Torah, right? The only thing that we have left from Moshe Rabbeinu's writings, I mean, you know, we know that he gave us the Luchos, but what did he actually write? And towards the end of his life, we have the recorded, the Sefer Torah. So what's he writing here? What's Vayichtav Moshe? Especially according to Rashi, which is this is before the giving of the Ten Commandments. So what is this writing? So it says, Vayichtav Moshe. Moshe, what did he write? Mi Breishis Va'ad Matan Torah. This is from the beginning until what happens at Matan Torah. It's a very interesting opinion, because there's two ways that in the Gemara discusses, did Moshe Rabbeinu just sit down at the end of his life and record the whole Torah at once? Or was the Torah written down piecemeal? You know, as things happened, so to speak, at different occasions, he would sit down and say, time to write, you know, what happened till now. According to this, it looks like a bit of a piecemeal kind of a thing, where he wrote, he stopped here, and he decided he's going to write everything down up until what happens at Matan Torah. And it seems that the way he wrote it, and we'll see soon why I say that, is exactly the way we have it, like Chumash Bereishis. You know, that's what he wrote. Exactly, and the beginning of Chumash Shemais. Plus, Rashi says something else. V'kosav mitzvah shenitzdavu b'mara. There's something else that he wrote down. He also recorded, not only did he share it orally, but he wrote down the commandments that they were commanded in Mara that we just mentioned. Those commandments that we just mentioned about Shabbos, Kibbud Avaim, Parah Aduma, and Dinim, he actually recorded them. Those would be a little bit different than the way we have it, because those are written in the Torah afterwards, in Chumash Vayikra, in Bamidbar. Many of them have different players that are not even being mentioned here, like Elazar the Kohen, and all different things. So obviously when Moshe wrote this part down, these mitzvahs is a different, it seems to be a temporary writing. I don't know where it is, somehow it seems. And it was written just so that he can read it to them and that he should be able to tell it to them clearly. But that is not the same format as the Chumash that we have. So you see, it's two parts. You know how we can see that? Look at Rashi. Rashi's so exact. Look at Rashi's words. Because Rashi says, Vayichtav Moshe, Moshe wrote. So first it says, Mibreishis Vad Matan Torah. And then it says, Vikosav. And he wrote. He doesn't have to write Vikosav. He should have just put a comma there. Why does he write Vikosav and he wrote the mitzvahs that were given at Mara? Because that's a different kind of writing. That's not the same way. That's not the Chumash that we have. That's maybe what we might call a temporary writing, but a writing that's there just so that he can teach us those mitzvahs. Okay, we'll see in a minute the significance. It all sounds so technical, and what's... Why does it matter? Why does it matter when this parsha happened and what he's teaching us? What is the significance of all of this? So I'd like to stop over here, even though there's so many beautiful things. I'll share one very nice thing, and then I want to go into the number two to see. It's a bit technical, but it's very important to get a picture. We get a very beautiful picture of how the Chumash is structured, in a sense, over here. So just before we go inside, just a very, so very, very beautiful Kedushas Levi. That the Kedushas Levi, this you don't have on your sheets, talks about the word that it tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'el Moshe Amar, Alei El Hashem, right to Moshe, it says, go up to Hashem, and then it says, Ve'hishtach Avisem, and you shall bow down, Me'rachayk, from a distance. So the Kedushas Levi says something beautiful. He says that the truth is there's two, he uses the word Bechinos, which we sometimes can explain as level or perhaps approaches to how we relate to Hashem. On the one hand, we relate to Hashem as Rachayk, distant. The truth is that's the more way that we relate to Hashem. He's beyond, he's greater, he's like, we have, in a sense, we're just limited creations. We can't grasp him. We can't, in a sense, at all, if you want to say, contain him. We feel that he's very, very distant. That type of relationship breeds an awe, a fear of God, because he's very removed, almost not remote, but he's way beyond us. But then there's a different way we relate to Hashem. We know we have to. There's a way of relating to Hashem as if he is close, karev, and that breeds love. The truth is that a Jew has to have both components. That's how we relate to Hashem, in both ways. Here, he highlights v'hishtachavisem, where will you bow? Meirachayk, from a distance. So the Kedushas Levi says a beautiful thing. He says that this is really what we're meant to think every day when we're davening. And at the end of davening, we say Aleinu, right? The last paragraph of davening. And in Aleinu, we say v'anachnu koirim u'mishtachavim u'moidim, right? We bow down to Hashem and we acknowledge him. He says, what is that? What are we supposed to be thinking at that time? He says, at that time we have to be thinking that Hashem is so awesome, so great, so mighty, so incredible. In a sense, he's so much greater than anything that I will ever grasp. What that does is it fills you with such an awe that immediately you sort of fall down, right? It's this incredible awe. But what should be happening? The word v'hishtachavisem, and as he says over here, that you will bow down from a distance, he says, despite the fact that Hashem is so awesome and so great and so far, in a sense, not far, but so much greater, by you bowing down to him, you are drawing down the greatest brachas to yourself, into the world, as the Kedushas Levi says. At that time in Aleinu, you concentrate on the fact that Hashem chooses to give a flow of brachas into the world, even though he's so much greater than it. And this is the idea also of over here. What Hashem is saying to Moshe, to Aaron, to all the Zkenim, to all of the Jewish people, you will bow down, you will feel a little bit of a distance, but know that you're bowing down, the fact that you acknowledge that you are, so to speak, nothing and he is everything, is what generates tremendous brachas and brings them down to the lowest place in the world. In a sense, that's also why even physically you bow, and where do you bow? Close to the ground. And the idea is almost an imagery of Hashem's brachas coming down to the lowest parts, even to the lowest place, which, as we can understand, doesn't just mean, obviously not physically, but to every part and every aspect of ourself, of our life, and doesn't matter what we are up to. So that's what he says, v'shtachavisa merachak. Okay, let's go back now to understand what's really happening in these psukim. Again, a drop technical, but we'll see what it means for us. So if you look at number two on these handouts, I'm going to show you, number one was we read a few Rashis. Number two, we're going to read an excerpt of the Ramban. Because there's really a very big, what do you want to use the word, machlekes? There's a very big difference of opinion between, and they categorize them between the French and the Spanish. Okay, the French and the Spanish. What does the French and the Spanish mean? It means in this context between Rashi, who is the French from France, originally Germany, but then lived in France, and who is the great Spanish, is the Ramban. But it's not just the Ramban, the Sfarnu, the Ibn Ezra, they all agree with the Ramban. What's their approach? They have a whole different approach. They say, even though these psukim look like, and they are very connected to the giving of the Torah, it's not out of order. How does that work? How does it work? When? And not out of order. Because we started that Parshas Yisrael is a long time ago. And then came the Ten Commandments, and then Parshas Mishpatim. So according to the Ramban, in other words, everything that's happening here is after the Ten Commandments. Let's see how that works. Okay. So he says like this, Daitei Shal HaRamban, the opinion of the Ramban, Acheres mi Daitei Shal Rashi Zal, it's different than Rashi's approach. Hu Makshe, he asks many questions on Rashi. Kama Kushiyos Upirchos Al HaShita, many questions. And he has many ways of almost knocking Rashi's approach, because he says of what's Rashi's approach, Ki Parsha Nemra Kaidem Matan Torah, that this parsha was said before the giving of the Torah. Because first of all, Im Kain Ha Parshias Mesudares Loike Sidran, then what's happening is that the Torah seems to be totally out of order. It's like almost as if you've sewn together a book and put the wrong chapter in the wrong place. Doesn't make sense according to the Ramban. Why would you do that? Why would you put this at the end of Parshas Mishpat? Him if it happens before the Ten Commandments in Parshas Yisrael? Doesn't make sense. If it happened on the 5th of Sivan, it should be put before the Ten Commandments. So that's the first thing that he knocks Rashi. And then he says, Shekein lefnei ze kfar nemru parshiyos shel achar matan Torah, because before this, we're already mentioning many of these different things that happen after the giving of the Torah. Uke'es chayzeres pitayim ha-Torah. And now all of a sudden, the Torah returns lelifnei matan Torah to before matan Torah. The next question is an interesting one on the words. The Pasuk says, Vayavai Moshe Vayisaper La'am. Moshe came and he told the nation, Eskol Divrei Hashem, Veskol HaMishpatim. The translation of the word Vayisaper, so he says like this, Lefi Rashi Kavanosa Shel Torah Hi L'dinim She'ne'emru B'mara. What does Vayisaper, what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people? Mitzvahs that they had already heard somewhere else previously in a place called Mara. And it seems that Moshe is repeating it here. We'll see soon maybe why. But Moshe is reviewing it and repeating it here. And he says like this, Aval imkein lo yhaya tzarech leimer Vayisaper. He shouldn't have used that word. Why? Shemashma'usa amira chadasha. According to the Ramban, in the classical way of writing, you don't use the word vayisaper unless you are saying something new. You don't use it as a word for repeating something. So he says, no, Rashi's not making any sense. Another thing that he, so to speak, throws off Rashi's arguments. Okay, let's go on now to the next paragraph. Lochein mefaresh haramban. So therefore, how does the Ramban approach it? So he says, ki ha-parsha ne'meres achrei matan Torah. This whole chapter, 24, happened and was told, was so to speak, told after the giving of the Torah. So how does it work? Az Amar Hashem el Moshe. So Hashem said to Moshe, Kaysaymar levinei Yisrael, so you shall say to the Jewish people, Atem re'isem, you have seen. V'hishiru shuv al avodah zarah. And he again warns them about idol worship. V'tzivo parshas Eilim mishpat mishpatim. And he commands them all of the mitzvahs that we had in the parsha of Eilim mishpatim. Ugmar dvarav b'hasharas avodah zarah b'eretz u'bayvdeh. As we just did at the end of the last chapter, he, so to speak, concludes all of his words with again warning them about serving idols, specifically when they come to the land of Israel. According to the Ramban, that's how it happened. I'll say it orally in a minute to make it clear, but he says like this, Acharei dibur zeh, amar le'Hashem. So after all of those words, so to speak, Hashem said to Moshe, Alei el Hashem atav Aaron. Go up to Hashem, you and Aaron. Hiskira Torah ki Moshe asa k'dvar Hashem. And the Torah tells us, Moshe did exactly as Hashem said. Bo el ha'am. First he came to the nation. V'amar lehem parshas kisaymar. And he tells them all of the concept that of kisaymar, which according to the Ramban includes the eight of the Ten Commandments, ve'eila ha'mishpatim, and all the mitzvahs in eila ha'mishpatim, ve'heim kiblu es ha'kol besimcha, and they accepted everything joyfully. Ba'baiker, in the morning, and which morning does the Ramban talk about? After the giving of the Torah, on Zion Sivan, so the seventh day of Sivan. That's what he says this date is over here. This is totally after the whole experience of the giving of the Torah, of Hashem appearing at Har Sinai. The next morning, what happens? Hishkim, he wakes up early, likrois lahem, bris alakol, to make a covenant with them on everything. In other words, because Hashem has just revealed himself and giving them the Ten Commandments, now, he says, now we can make a covenant. You said Nasev and Nishma, you said you were going to accept it, you heard it all the crazy experience that happened, your Neshamas left, your Neshamas came back, all the wondrous things. But now we have to do something really practical, and we have to make a proper covenant. A covenant means a promise, an agreement. It's like a contract that you are signing up, that you're going to agree, and you're going to follow everything that you've just experienced. According to the Ramban, this takes place after Matan Torah. Many times in our minds, especially as children, I think what we think is that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain, you know, he sort of stayed there. There's no gap. Like, he didn't come down again and then go back up again. We don't think of it that way. But here we see, according to the Ramban, that that's not the way it is. He went up on the mountain, and all the, you know, all the light effect and the sound effect and the voice of Hashem, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's voice and all the things that happen. But then he comes down again, and Hashem gives him a new command. when he comes down, not only does Hashem give him a new command, but he has a very long and deep communication with the Jewish people. And in that communication, he shares with them a lot of the halachas of that we learned in Mishpatim. I don't know how in a few hours he managed to say, because it took us many, many, long time to go through the parsha, but it took Moshe Rabbeinu a few hours, and he managed to share with them a lot of those halachas that we read, all of them, in Eilah HaMishpatim. But then the concept, the whole idea of Matan Torah is not finished yet, because Moshe still has to go back up on the mountain. He's going to be receiving the actual luchos, right? According to the Ramban, that's what this chapter is talking about, is the covenant, and then Moshe going back on the mountain now to disappear, as we say, for 40 days and 40 nights. So this is the Ramban's view, very interesting view, a little bit different to what we're used to in a sense, but makes more sense in the flow of the psukim. It's interesting than Rashi, seemingly. I just want to show, read a little bit more inside and see. He says, so the next morning, he woke up early, they made this covenant. Bonam is Beyach, they built an altar. Zevach Zvachim, Velokach HaSefer Shekasav, Emesh V'Karu Bifneim. And they brought all kinds of different sacrifices, and then he reads them this Sefer that he had written yesterday. V'heim Kiblu Aleim Es Habris, they accept the covenant. U'Moshe Zarak Aleim Es Adam, he throws the blood on them. La'ois Bris, as a sign of this covenant. Acharei Shehishlim Ma'aseihu, after he completes all of these actions, it was very busy. But Moshe, l'malei dvar Hashem sh'amar lei, then Moshe fulfills what Hashem commands him. Alei atav arei, now it's time for you and Aaron to go up. Osa mashativa, he did what he was commanded. V'nigash levadei el Hashem, and he comes by himself close to Hashem. So very clearly, according to the Ramban, this covenant takes place after the giving of the Torah. Very interesting that there is a covenant after the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah seemingly is, it is also a covenant, but what's the aspect over here? That we acknowledge verbally that we are accepting that relationship. Previously, Hashem is appearing. Hashem is revealing himself. He's sharing everything. We do say Nasa V'Nishma, but here we are even more. We are saying, yeah, I hear it all the details. And we are ready to subjugate ourselves to become servants to the great master Hashem. And that's according to the Ramban how it works. So let's see as he says quickly, just to finish. Sure, sure, so we'll make clear. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Okay, so very good. Let's keep the golden calf for a minute. I'll just tell you quickly, because I know it's very confusing here to understand. I know. Because here we're not yet talking about receiving the actual physical luchos. Okay, it's good you're asking. So here, like this, there's two ways to look at it. But we know for sure that they arrive at the Midbar Sinai, at the desert of Sinai, like near the mountain, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Like, that's when they arrive. Everybody knows that 6 days later, they receive the Torah. That's when they have the big revelation of godliness. The question is, what happens in those 6 days? So according to most opinion, let's see Rashi, how Rashi looks at it. Rashi looks at it that those were six very packed days. Why? Because in those days, we have that Hashem told us that we will be a kingdom, a nation of priests and all that beautiful thing. And then Moshe Rabbeinu is told this story here, to go up and to get, and Hashem teaches him a bunch of different things. He comes back down again. He makes these altars that we're going to talk about, 12 altars. The Jewish people almost sign up, in a sense, for like this contract, if you want to say, all this is happening in those 6 days. The fifth day, the fourth day, as he says, the Jewish people are told they have to separate from their wives. They have to have a border. This, according to Rashi, is all taking place on those, like I say, the fourth, the fifth day, then comes the sixth day, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes back on the mountain. That's when they have the most incredible revelation and the thunder and the lightning. Even according to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu does come down, but then he goes right back up again. When he goes back up and he spends 40 days on the mountain, that's where you have the sin of the golden calf. And when he comes down, that's when he's bringing the actual physical luchos. Do you understand? So, but according to the Ramban, there's some interesting thing here. I'm not exactly sure what happened on the fifth day of Sivan according to Ramban, but according to the Ramban, well, I do know they separated from their wives, they did, and they did make the boundary. But according to the Ramban, on the fourth and the fifth day of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't write a whole long thing that we're talking about over here, and he doesn't reteach them the halachas, and he doesn't give them a long speech, and they don't sign a specific covenant yet. They just are preparing for receiving the Torah. And according to the Ramban, on the sixth day of Sivan, they get this Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back down early the next morning, or at that night even, it doesn't even have to be the next morning, that day, and then he writes everything down, and then he reads everything to them, and then he goes back up again. So it's an interesting, it's a slight difference, but the main difference is which happens first. The giving, the accepting, so to speak, of the Luchais, the Torah, like that big experience of the revelation of godliness, and then they sign the covenant, so to speak? Or is there a covenant, a promise, before the experience of the revelation of Mount Sinai? Sounds like a small difference, but it's a massive difference. And these are two different approaches. And I'll just share with you, I want to show you, go to the next page and we'll see, so we won't do the whole thing inside, but I'll just share with you why is it so significant and how we can understand Rashi's approach, which in a way Rashi's approach seems a little bit more complicated because especially the way the Torah is written, it doesn't seem to flow, and Rashi is supposed to be the simpler one, the one that goes more according to, you would imagine, the way things flow. And according to Rashi, everything is totally out of order because all of this happens before Matan Torah. Why is it written here? So I'll just want to show, I'll read you some of it and some we'll do orally. We'll just start here. He says, look on the, I'm sorry, it is Yiddish that I'll read and translate. It says, by Matan Torah, Hamzich Eifgetan Tzvei Inyanim. So during the time of the giving of the Torah, actually at Matan Torah, two things happened, two monumental things. The Eibishter hat gegeben Torah, Hashem gave us the Torah, the mitzvahs v'halachas ha-Torah, right, all the mitzvahs to the Jewish people, that's the one aspect, Hashem giving the Torah. And the second aspect, Idin seinen durch dem gewaren avdei Hashem, we became the servants of God. We don't usually separate these two, but they are two different aspects, because it is possible to give somebody something, and they don't necessarily have to receive it. I mean, you can give it, either they don't have to receive it willingly, they don't have to receive it internally, they don't have to take it in at all. But here we're talking about two aspects, Hashem giving and us receiving. But us receiving means that we say we want the relationship and we are giving ourselves over to serving Hashem. So there's two parts, Hashem connecting to us and us connecting to Hashem. And both of those things are taking place during the time of Matan Torah, definitely. But let's see how they work, he says. Und die beide Pratim hat der Eibischter madgisch gewen gleich in dem ersten Dibur zu Moshe. Both of these details were emphasized by the first time Hashem spoke to Moshe, the Midbar Sinai, when they arrived at the Midbar. On the second day of Sivan, well, the first day they arrived, and then the second day was the first communication. Kaisaymar, what does Hashem say? So you shall speak to the Bnei Yisrael. And he says, Atem Reisam, you have seen all the miracles that I've done for you. Va'ata im shamaya tishmu b'kaili, now if you listen to my voice. Ushmartem es brisi, and you follow, fulfill my covenant, v'hayisam liskula, and you will be like a special auspicious nation, as fun idin mansich. So what was the message? That what is being demanded by the Jewish people? Shamaya tishmu b'kayli. You shall listen to my voice. Ois folgin ditzivoy Hashem, to fulfill the command of Hashem. The second aspect, ushmartem es brisi, and that you shall fulfill the covenant. As das is in an oifen fun bris, that this is a covenant. And what's a covenant, as we said? That we have gebunden mit neibishon, that we are literally tied with Hashem. It's like a real promise, if you want to say, that mishubadim li, that we will serve Hashem. That's a whole deeper level of a relationship. Because once you have that contract, it's not just voluntary, and it's not just when we feel like it, and it's not just temporary. This is a permanent promise that we are literally giving ourselves over totally to Hashem's will. And this is what happens, a very important part of the whole process. Und das ist der Teichen Achilluk zwischen die zwei Parshias. And in truth, we can divide the two Parshias very neatly into these two aspects. Parshas Yisrei is the first aspect. That's Hashem's revelation. That's where Hashem is approaching us. That's, if you want to say, where Hashem is proposing. And he's asking us, do you want the relationship, so to speak? And he's presenting what he is, his greatness, his incredible spiritual energy, right? And he's revealing himself to us. So in that situation, we're almost stunned, if you want to say. Stunned into just stunned, you know? Like, whoa. Then comes the next step, Parshas Mishpatim. Here we start to catch our breath and we say, oh, Hashem has just revealed himself to us. This is incredible. We want the relationship. We want to give ourselves over. Here is where we put ourselves into it. And this is where the covenant is really sealed. So we have two aspects, and that's what, according to Rashi, why it's divided this way. Because all of these verses, even though they might have taken place before Matan Torah chronologically, but nevertheless, what do they signify? That second aspect. The aspect of our willingness, our, so to speak, taking upon ourselves to connect to Hashem. It's a very interesting difference. So it's hard for us to separate because when did it happen? So you might think, oh, so this must have happened after the Ten Commandments. No, this is a very powerful thing. According to the Ramban, yes. But according to Rashi, no. According to Rashi, this is a very beautiful idea, that Hashem revealed himself, unbelievable. He says, come, I want you as my nation. We already know he's been doing that in Mitzrayim, right? Giving the 10 plagues and then the splitting of the sea and all the miracles that he takes us through, where he's showing his love for us and he's, as you want to say, sort of coming closer and closer and closer. And then, just before he does the final revelation, good morning. No problem.
I mean, this is yes.
Just before he does the final revelation, which is the Ten Commandments and all the Jewish people say, Naseh v'nishma, we want to be connected. We can't control ourselves almost. And we sort of sign the second part of the contract, if you want to say, our signature on it. Yes, 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 we will be yours. We will follow. We will do exactly what you say. And then Hashem reveals himself to them at Matan Torah. What's the significance if it happens before that greatest revelation or after? It's a very beautiful thing. There's a very deep significance and it's quite fascinating. If you think about it, in a sense, almost it would make more sense where the Matan Torah would be part of that initial, you know, Hashem's revealing, and then after the Ten Commandments and all the great revelations, we say, yeah, we'll accept it. But according to Rashi, what's happening is something very beautiful. The Jewish people, although it is before the giving of the Torah, which means, as we all know, we've learned this when we learned Parshas Yisrael, and I won't go into too much in depth, but it wasn't just a tremendous revelation that happened when Hashem said the Ten Commandments. The whole world changed. Remember, we said everything changed. The spiritual infrastructure of the world changed. What changed? Remember, we said before the Ten Commandments, there was this separation. There was this, it wasn't visible, but it was there, where there was the spiritual and the physical, and they could not mix, right? Two realms, distinct, as you say, you know, in its own box. Two different realms. At the time when Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, Hashem gave us an incredible gift. He gave the whole world a gift. And he said, now, I am revealing myself, Anoichi, my essence, in this world, in the physical world, which means that we can actually tap into and access in the physicality the greatest spiritual heights. That's when we know the beginning of transforming the physical world into a world which reveals godliness really began. Now, if the Jewish people sign up before the giving of the Torah, what that means is that when they receive that tremendous gift from Hashem, they are on even a higher level. It means, it's a very beautiful idea, that they themselves are already lifted themselves, by themselves, because there's still that sort of separation, but they've lifted themselves and opened themselves up to receiving this tremendous gift from Hashem. So when Hashem does reveal himself, it would be like if somebody approaches you and really wants to be very, very close to you. So you can have somebody who's looking at you thinking like, what's in it for me? You know, like, and still analyzing and still, you know, until you get to the, it takes a very long time until all the promises are made. And then they say, yes, 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 yes. Or sometimes you have where a person might jump in before because they're so eager. And what does that show? Besides the eagerness, it also shows that the relationship is so much deeper. Because here we have both parties coming together, not just one coming on top of the other and drowning the other out totally, but both parties making a move, which means that the relationship is a very strong bond. And this is what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying, I know it sounds crazy, like it sounds a bit complicated in his way, but in the way the Torah, the order of the Torah is there to teach us that the Jewish people, in a sense, almost made a move on their own, well, even before they really were able to. It's like if you think of a baby who can't walk and they sort of like try to toddle, you know, we're trying. We can't balance ourselves, for sure not. It's not even possible because that gezeira, that decree hasn't been taken away. So the truth is the physical and spiritual can't mix yet. It's not possible for us, but we're still trying. Even if it's a bit, you know, very, very wobbly, but we're going to try. And then Hashem gives us the ability to actually walk. What is it for us in day-to-day life? What's the difference really? It's really what happens to us every day. A very beautiful thing. Because in life we say, what does Hashem want? Hashem wants, as we know, we all know, Hashem wants us to have a little bit of initiative ourselves, right? He gives us tremendous gifts, of not only gifts physically, but even spiritually. He enables us. He's given us the whole Torah. Nowadays, for whatever it's worth, the internet has lots of negatives, but lots of positives where we can access so much. There hasn't been a time when every person, no matter what level, what background, can access so much inspiration. It's incredible in every way because things are translated. There are so many more books, so much more available. So Hashem says, yeah, I've given it all to you, but I really want you to make the move, right? You've got to move. You've got to take the initiative and approach and want to and start learning. And then we all know that Hashem says, when you start, I'll give you much more success than how much you invest. But here we see something beautiful, that we, like every morning we wake up, we say Maida Ani, right? Maida Ani means I acknowledge that I'm going to give myself over to Hashem. Many people think that Maida Ani is the first thing that happens, but there's actually something that happens before Maida Ani. What happens before Maida Ani? And this is a very beautiful thing. It says that before we even have the ability to open up our mouth and say Maida Ani, which means just before we open our eyes, this is it's a very beautiful language that's used. It says that Hashem, the King of Kings, comes and stands by our bed waiting to hear our Maida Ani. Very interesting. We can understand it like, you know, if you have a child and you're standing there waiting for them to wake up, you know, you're waiting there, they wake up, they think the parent's been there all the time, right? Well, hopefully they have, right? They've been watching them. But the child gets so excited because they see the parent. Maida Ani is really our subjugating ourselves to Hashem. We're giving ourselves over. We acknowledge and we will serve you and, you know, right through the day. But we see something very beautiful, that Hashem gives us such a gift because he comes even before that. So there's so much happening, so many layers where we do have to take the initiative, but Hashem does try to make it easier for us. He's always there to help us out. Even the first step. He lifts us to take the first step. And we see this even over here, that the bris, the covenant between us and Hashem, took place even before Hashem revealed himself at Har Sinai. Even before that, there was a covenant already. And we were able to say, we want you. We want to come close. That's Rashi's approach. Okay, we're going to leave that over here. I just want to show you something else beautiful. I know it's a very deep concept. Let's go to the next page for a minute. I want to show you something beautiful here in the next page. Because then we come to a different question. So we said that, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to the Jewish people? Because if this happens before, according to Rashi, before the Ten Commandments, he's obviously not teaching them the Ten Commandments, and he's not teaching them all the laws in Parshas Mishpatim. So what are these words of Moshe? So as we said, Moshe repeated a few mitzvahs, right? The mitzvahs that they got in Marah, he repeated. What's the point of repeating? Why would you repeat? What's repeating? They know these mitzvahs already. So the Mar Vashamish says very beautiful. Actually, very, very, says it's number four. It says, V'nira lefarish akol al pi pshutai kach. We can explain it all, so to speak, according to the pshat, this way. Dehine kol sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach v'gam shabbos kibbedova eim v'dinin hei mitzvahs nimusiyes. All of these mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs, the Noahide laws, and even Shabbos. Shabbos is a bit different, but definitely honoring our parents and justice. They are all menschlichkeit, you know, basic menschlichkeit. Even Shabbos is a basic menschlichkeit. You see it in the world. The gratefulness to Hashem that he created the world in 6 days, the seventh day he rested. As we know, gratitude, it's the buzzword, right? It's considered the normal way that human beings act. They act in a way where they have a time to reflect and to have gratitude. So he says, these are all menschliche mitzvahs, she'aseichel mechayev ha'isan, that our intellect obligates us. Right? As we say, v'gam heim chukei ha'medina, and in most countries, they're actually the law of the land. You don't murder, you don't steal, you go to have justice. All these things are the normal way that a country runs. Asher i'efshar liyos kiyum oilam bil adam, that the world cannot exist without them. Society can't exist without them. V'zeh yadua sh'anachnu, am b'nei Yisrael, mechuyovim l'kayim kol mitzvahs ha'teir ha'gdoisha, afilu ha'sichliyos, k'dei lasais ritzoyin koineinu. But we know that we have a different approach to life, that we are meant to keep every mitzvah, and which actually in a sense almost is every obligation that we do, not because it makes sense, not because it's logical, not because that's going to keep up society, but because that's Hashem's will. Sometimes we think, really? You know, I don't kill because of Hashem's, I mean, really? But yeah, because Hashem said so. Otherwise we could do it. That should be our attitude. Now let's see how he says, V'lo yeshum chiluk beineinu, and there shouldn't be any difference among, in our, so to speak, perspective, bein mitzvah sichlies u bein mitzvah shmayes. Whether it be a logical mitzvah or a mitzvah that we do just because Hashem said so, so to speak. The ones that we, you know, like shatnes or whatever it may be, that we do par aduma because Hashem said so. Rak hakol tzrichim anachnu l'kayim machmas shetzivanu hakol me'abayiris baruch shemai. We do it all because Hashem commanded. V'kachanu tzrichim l'kayim hakol. We have to fulfill it all. Machmas shanachnu avodov. Who Elokeinu? We are His servants. He is our master. That's why we do it. V'loy machmas nimusis chas v'chalila, not because of, you know, just that's the way of the world. That's menschlichkeit. Rak machmas atziva mipi abayiris baruch shmai, just because Hashem commands. V'zehu nachas ruach lefanov. And this is actually what causes Hashem tremendous pleasure, gives him nachas, as we say, that what? Sha'amar, that he says, v'na'as seret Sinai, and we do his commands. Al kein huchrach Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom lahachzir l'v'nei Yisrael. That's why Moshe had to repeat to the Jewish people, koidem matan Torah, before we receive the Torah, that's as we see Rashi's view, hasheva mitzvahs v'mitzvahs shebe Marah, the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and those mitzvahs that we were told in Marah. Kadesha yikablu aleyem me'ata, that now we should receive it, we should take it upon ourselves, that how will we fulfill it? Machmas mitzvahs b'reinu, because Hashem commanded us, our Creator commanded us. Shebei v'loy machmas and Moses, and not just because that's the right thing to do. And what's the difference? Big deal. What does it matter? As long as we're doing it, why does it matter why we're doing it? Who cares about what's the motivating factor? So the many times we have different ways of looking at it, but here he says, I thought something very, very beautiful, a beautiful insight, which also helps us to make sure that we do sometimes concentrate a little bit and analyze why are we doing the mitzvahs. And it is important. So he says, V'achiluk shebein adam oisa machmas nimusis, the difference between somebody who does it because that's the right thing to do, ubein machmas tzivu habayre, or because Hashem commands, hukach, is such. Kesha adam oisa mitzvahs nimusis oisa b'chol yoyim v'yoyim b'shoveh. When a person does a mitzvah something because that's the right thing to do, every day, he will do it the same way. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, from when you're 5 years old till you're 105 years old, you're going to do it the same way, with the same investment, with the same emotion, with the same degree of everything, with the same everything. Just do it because that's what you have to do, right? So you do it. And unfortunately, sometimes I think that children actually might do it in a more excited way and almost be more, not the word, also idealistic. And what you find is that people, when they get to the 30s, 40s, 50s, they perhaps become a little bit more skeptical, right? And say, oh, I don't know, if, you know, nobody else is keeping it. I have to be so careful with the whatever, all the different things. So you see, interesting. So definitely you don't go up. If anything, you'll go down. And he says, but he's sorry. But if you do it because Hashem commanded, Aisa mitzvah, you will do the same mitzvah every day with a different intention. Why? Because every day, and this is the ideal, but still, it does work that way. The more you do a mitzvah, the closer you get to Hashem. Mitzvah means connection. So the more you're going to do a mitzvah, inevitably, it's going to cause you to be closer to Hashem. The closer you come to Hashem, the more you love Him, the more you fear Him, the more you appreciate Him, the more the spiritual feels real and feels meaningful. And therefore, everything will change. The way you're going to do the mitzvah is not going to be the same. As you say, Eisa mitzvah yeser behislavos, you're going to do it with much more excitement. Afilu ha-mitzvah sichlius, kamuvan, even the rational mitzvahs. Al-kein, hichzer lefneim sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. That's why Moshe had to repeat to them all these mitzvahs, she'avinu, that they should understand, she'adayin lo asu shum mitzvah, l'chvayit ha-bayrei baruchu. Moshe is telling them, maybe all fine and good you were doing the mitzvahs, but you weren't doing it for the right reason yet. That wasn't your fault, you couldn't. Up until now you did it because it was the right thing to do. You haven't even done one mitzvah properly yet. He says, now you can start. Rak machmas nimus, as you're only doing because of menschlichkeit, so to speak. Now you have to accept upon yourselves. Even the seven Noahide laws, which means even the laws that everybody else in the world keeps, and that you really are the same as your neighbor, you will do it with a different motivating factor. You will do it because Hashem said so. And that makes you closer to Hashem. And then, as we say, every day you do it differently. And a beautiful v'yasu b'chol yom v'yom ratzon abayir v'yavayu l'sichlis chadoshos b'chol yom v'yom. And every day you get more appreciation and deeper appreciation, both for the mitzvah and for the connection that you are creating with Hashem. V'alkein kishehichzer lefneim ha-mitzvahs she'asu kvar ve'hevinu shaloi asu oisam kitikunam. So when Moshe repeated the mitzvahs and they realized that they hadn't been doing it properly, that's why, what do they say? Alkein amru, kol asher diber Hashem, everything that Hashem said nase, we will do, right? Ratzoloimar mashe diber Hashem kvar, everything Hashem has already spoken, now we are first going to start doing them. Because now we're going to do them because Hashem said so. Up until now, we were doing them in a very incomplete way. But then we go on, and that's not enough. We want to do them all from anew. To honor our Creator. That's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. It's called Divrei Hashem. And that's why Rashi explains very clearly. Mi bereishis ad matan Torah. Everything he writes down. Why? Because it's now new to them. They say, no, now everything is going to be done in a whole different way. We have to hear every detail again because we're going to do it totally differently. And as he says, now we have to accept from anew all the seven mitzvahs. And that's why they have to have all this whole process that we didn't go into in depth. We'll see next week that they did this, all these different karbanos sacrifices and this bris, as we said, this covenant and the sprinkling of the blood. Why all of this on things that they've already been doing? Because no, now they're first going to be doing it, as they say. Now we really know what doing it means. Nothing. What we did before is like nothing to what we are going to start doing now. And he says, v'kolater al-kein hikruv karbanos, as he says, and he does all of that. I want to just show you, because a very beautiful point. Okay, now we're going to do them because Hashem said, oh, and then they continue. And that we didn't read yet. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, now they say, that's all wonderful, we're so excited. But now, v'gam roitzim l'kabel oid mitzvahs chadashas. We want even more new mitzvahs, not enough, we want more. As he says, new ones, al kain, b'saif, so that's why we'll see in a few psukim from now, kishikara lefneim, after Moshe Rabbeinu reads what he wrote down, hatayra amru, nase v'nishma. Then they don't just say, nase, we will do, but they say, nase, we will do, v'nishma, and we want to hear more. That's what they're saying. As he says, we want to do all the mitzvahs that we have already been doing logically, but now we want to do them properly. Now we're going to do them the way, because Hashem commanded. But we want more, because now they are so excited. You can see they appreciate the connection, as we said before, the relationship that they have with Hashem. So up until now, fantastic, but that's nothing. We want more, we want more, we want more. Why would we want more? Because, very interesting, when you're doing mitzvahs because you understand them, because that's the right thing to do for the upkeep of society, we know how society works. You do it, but we look for loopholes. We do as much as we have to, so to speak. You know, just to fulfill, keep everything going, wonderful. When the motivation is that we're going to be able to connect to Hashem, do the will of Hashem, reveal Hashem in this low world, what can be more great? So we say, we want more, 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 more. It's not enough just to fulfill our obligation. This is the most incredible privilege that we have been given, and this opportunity. So tell us how we can do more and more and more. And that's why they add v'nishma. We want to listen and hear even more. And that's why it says a beautiful thing that at the beginning of Parashas Yisrei, it says that when the Jewish people came to the mountain, what does it say? Bayoyim hazeh, on this day. Right? And we know what Rashi says, that every single day, we should look at it as if today we came to Har Sinai, because it should be new for us. How is that possible? How could we make it new? So he says, because if we're doing it because Hashem said so, because it's forging a connection with Hashem, then it's new every day. Every day we are a new person, closer to Hashem, hopefully a little bit more refined, a little bit more in tune spiritually. Therefore, we can receive so much more. And therefore, the mitzvahs that we did yesterday are not the same as the mitzvahs we do today. We're a different person with a different connection, and we're much, much closer. And that's why it's true. Every day, it's takenu. And as he says, otherwise the famous language that's used, mitzvah anoshim mulumada. There's a concept that people will, unfortunately, it can happen to all of us, where we can get into doing mitzvahs out of habit. You just do it mindlessly, heartlessly, as you say, no emotion, no enthusiasm, just because that's what we did yesterday, the day before. That's when we don't think about it and we don't understand the incredible privilege that Hashem is giving us to connect to Him and to reveal Him in this world. Once we have that perspective, there's no way we're doing it out of habit. We're doing it like, wow, what an opportunity. And every day from anew. So that's how he explains. Okay, we're going to leave. I'm sorry, it was a bit complicated, but next week in Mirtz Hashem, we'll go on and we'll see other very beautiful ideas. And then we're going to be starting Parshas Truma, and we'll see how we're going to do that.